Professor Andrew Trites spent 3 weeks aboard the Coast Guard icebreaker Healy in the northern Bering Sea collecting walrus scat.
And it's quite interesting to see when the walrus are hauling out, they actually melt the ice that they're sleeping on, and they create almost like little bowls of water. And these bowls of water become full of waste and everything. It's you really need a picture to see just what a mess they leave behind. But fortunately, they can just pick up and leave home and haul it somewhere else. But it's out of that that we're actually chipping with chisels and hammers.
With other animals, the scat has bits of bones or shells to help identify what the predator eats. With walrus, it's not so easy.
They actually aren't eating fish, and they're eating mostly clams and worms. But they don't swallow the whole clam. They actually shuck it. And so they can actually, they suck the meat right out. They must have the world's tightest lips and the most powerful suction. I've been told you never want a French kiss a walrus.
So the scientists test the fecal matter for different bits of DNA, which show exactly what the walrus was eating. They tested the method first on stellar sea lions from the Aleutians, and what they found was startling.
So we knew that in some of these samples we found the bones of salmon, but we actually can't tell from the bones what type of salmon it is. And would you believe it, but we found that in some of these scats, the salmon were actually Atlantic salmon, escapees from fish farms further south that are now passing through or perhaps even living up here along the Aleutians. So that was a total shocker to us.
Trites says he's not sure exactly what they'll find with the walrus. Too little is known about the animals. Along with the food, the feces also includes traces of the walrus's hormones.
So we've been experimenting with trying to measure the level of stress hormones to see whether or not we can assess what the current stress levels of the population is and use that also as baseline for the future to determine whether or not we have animals that are laid back or highly stressed. And that'll give us almost like taking the pulse of a population to tell us what condition it's in.
Along with Trites, other scientists aboard the ship traveled on helicopters to tag 17 of the animals with satellite trackers.
And the helicopter could land really quite close to them, just a few football fields away, without any animal seemed to notice. And from then, they were dressed completely in white to be camouflaged and used a crossbow, essentially used medieval technology to deliver 21st century technology to the animals.
All of these studies will go towards a collection of baseline data about the Arctic environment because, as Trites observed, the Northern Arctic is more than just a giant sheet of ice. More than 450 species live on, in, or near the ice. And the ice sheet itself serves as a sort of farm that feeds the rest of the ocean. Fields of algae grow on the bottom of the ice and then fall to the ocean floor.
And without that ice, you're probably looking at another couple of months before enough light was getting down into the water to kickstart the growing season for the Bering Sea.
But what will the ecosystem be like if the ice melts? Where will the walrus breed? What will the clams at the bottom eat?
The reality is that in Bering Sea, we don't understand it too well today. So how can we prepare for the future if we don't already have a good baseline?
Trites says walrus scat is just another tool for understanding the entire changing Arctic. In Unalaska, I'm Ann Hillman.